Let's hear God's word in Scripture. We've been looking through September at this theme of what is important and looking at biblical texts that talk about what is important. So let's read from Philippians chapter 1.
Okay, so it's Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 25. And I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me spread the good news. For everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained the confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ and about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know the Lord has brought me here to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make the chains more painful to me. But whether or not their motives are pure, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me, as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I will always be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, and that my life will always honour Christ, whether I live or die. For me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. Yet if I live, this means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better. I am torn between the two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go to be with Christ. That would be far better for me, but it is better that for you I live. I am convinced of this, so I will continue with you, so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. Then, when I return to you, you will have even more the reason to boast about what Christ Jesus has done for me. Glory be to God.
Amen. Amen. Indeed. Glory be to God. And we have been looking at this whole theme of important. The version of the Bible we have in the seats doesn't actually use the word important here. But some other translations, when Paul is talking about the fact that some people are talking about Jesus in a way that seems calculated to cause trouble for Paul, says, look, I know that some people are doing this for bad motives. I know that their reasons are bad. He says, but it doesn't matter. He says, the point is, the important thing is that Christ is being proclaimed. As long as Jesus is being proclaimed, I am happy. I love Jesus. I want the world to hear about him, is what Paul is saying here. And as we've looked through this important theme, there's really been two things that I think have come to the surface. The first one is the importance of the gospel message. Going back to the first week we looked at this, Paul says, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and he appeared. And there's a whole list of people he appeared to. Paul says this is of first importance. This is the message that matters. The church may exist to do a number of things, but it has one message that towers above everything else, as we've already sung this morning. The cross stands above it all. That is the message that we have. The other theme that we have been looking at is the important commandments, the things that God tells us to do that really matter. And some of us have been discussing these in house groups and trying to work out what it means in practice. But the basic point is that what matters in terms of God's commandments are that we love God with everything we have, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. There are no commandments that are greater than these two. And last week, we were looking at the way some people at the time of Jesus were majoring on, well, not silly things, but minor details of the law and making them out to be really important, whilst neglecting the things that Jesus said really matter. Because with love comes mercy and righteousness and faithfulness. So the point of this series is to help us to say what is really important, and if these are the things that are really important, then other things are not as important. And the two of them wonderfully come together in the cross of Jesus. It's in the cross of Jesus, at the very core of the gospel message, that we encounter the love of God. Paul writes elsewhere, "The life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me." Anyway, what was going on in Philippi that made Paul write as he did? There are actually two theories as to what was going on, and I think one's slightly more likely than the other. One theory, which I think is probably the more likely one, and it's how the translation that we read goes, is that there were people who didn't particularly like Paul who were going around talking about Jesus, but saying in such a way that they were saying, "Oh, you really shouldn't listen to Paul. Look at Paul. He's a rubbish apostle. He's in prison. We're the real deal." So they were trying to make life more hard for Paul, even as they were talking about Jesus. Something similar we know happened in Corinth from reading another of Paul's letters. That's one idea. The other possibility, is that people who weren't believers were going around saying something like this, that they were saying, "You heard this ridiculous message that Paul is preaching. He's saying that there is another king. He's saying that Caesar isn't Lord. He's saying that Jesus is." And they were presenting a version of Paul's gospel which was calculated to get Paul into trouble. But whichever way around it was, Paul says, "I don't mind. I mean, of course, Paul wants the gospel to be proclaimed by people who love him, because that is the correct way for the gospel to be proclaimed. But if it is of prime importance, if it is of first importance that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, then let that message be heard. It really matters." There's something here about our attitude towards our church, towards other churches, to the way different Christians do things differently. The church spends far too long arguing about things that are not that important. If anybody wants to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, however they do it, whatever they wear, whatever language they want to do it in, whatever service they want to follow, whatever, if Jesus is being proclaimed, if the message of his death and resurrection is being heard, we are to rejoice in it. You see, Paul loves Jesus so much that he wants Jesus to be glorified. I think Philippians 1, it's a fascinating chapter. There's just so much stuff in it. But one of the things that really strikes me in this chapter is the way that Paul has received the love of Jesus so that he can give it away to others. He says to them, these Philippian Christians at one point, he talks about loving them with, and the translations differ. The one that we read talked about the compassion of Christ. Some talk about the affection of Christ. The word that is used here is a word that means literally it's the bowels. We don't think about the bowels in these terms. A better English translation would be the word gut. Paul is saying to these people, "I love you from the guts of Jesus," or I love you with the guts of Jesus. He's saying to them, "Look, Jesus loves you from this really deep place within him." Just as Jesus saw the crowds and the scripture says he has compassion on them, or it says he felt it in his gut. So for us, Jesus looks at us and he feels it in his gut. And Paul says, "What I'm feeling for you, the love that I feel for you people, it's not just my love, It's the love of Jesus, because Jesus loves me, because Jesus has made his home in me through his Holy Spirit, and now he is loving you through me. Isn't that a great picture of what church is? You know, sometimes we think, well, we've got to love each other. Let's get on and love one another. And yes, let's do it. But what it's really about is about us being so full of the love of Jesus, about knowing the love of Jesus so wonderfully, of allowing Jesus through his Holy Spirit to make his home. And Jesus makes his home where love is going on. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 15. Jesus makes his home in us when we love. And then actually, it's not just me loving you and you loving me. It's Jesus loving you through me and Jesus loving me through you. Love really is the most important commandment. I love this translation of verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And that's very carefully written. I love you with the affection of Jesus. Jesus is loving you through me. And also within this chapter where he talks about love, he talks about the resurrection. Well, you're never far from talking about the resurrection when you're reading Paul. Paul is excited about the resurrection of Jesus because what it says to him is that one day he will be with Christ. So there in verse 6, the day is coming. I'm confident of this, that the God who began a good work in you will carry it on until it is complete on the day of Christ. Yeah, you know Jesus is at work in us to help us to love one another. He is going to continue that work in us to make us like Christ until the day of Christ, when Christ is revealed, when Christ returns, and when his resurrection is shared with every one of us. You know, somebody this week was talking about what somebody believed, and they said, it's a bit crazy. Hey, what we believe is crazy, and I say so unashamedly today. We stand in our belief that almost 2,000 years ago, a man rose from the dead, bodily, and he appeared to his disciples. That's the thing that's of most importance. And we believe that that is the sign of what will happen to us on his day. On the day of Jesus Christ, we shall be like him. And Paul pulls these things together, just like he did. We noticed this a few weeks ago when we looked at 1 Corinthians 15, when he talks about the resurrection. But he also says in chapter 13 that love is eternal. Why is love eternal? It is eternal because of the resurrection of Jesus. I've been watching a Facebook debate this week with an atheist friend of mine arguing that morality isn't anything to do with religion. I don't really care whether morality has much to do with religion or not. What I care about, what Paul cares about, is that Jesus is alive, that God is love, that God's love has been revealed in Jesus, and one day we shall be like him. That's a reason to do good. Think of that verse from Romans 13 we looked at a few moments ago. You know, love does not harm others, so love is the fulfillment of the law. Somebody this week, where was I? I was at a birthday party this week, and the conversation got around to, you know, do I drink or not? And I said, no, I don't drink. But it's not a faith thing to me. It's not that I don't drink because I am a Christian. And I thought, I just wish my brain had been in gear a bit more at the time, because what I think I should have said to explain it more was just to say that being a Christian is not about a list of rules and regulations at all. It's not about you must do this, you must do that, you must do the other. It's about love. Paul writes in Philippians, he says to these people, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, Philippi was what in those days was known as a Roman colony. the Romans would conquer countries, it wasn't possible straight away to turn places fully Roman. People still had their own language, they had their own traditions, they had their own customs. But they would create Roman colonies, they would fill them with Roman citizens, often retired soldiers, and they would say to them, right, your job is to be Rome in this place. So that's what Paul is saying. You know, just as in Philippi, there are a whole load of Roman citizens who are trying to make it into Rome, so we are the citizens of heaven, the place where God dwells, and we are called to make this place like heaven. We cannot turn around this whole community by snapping our fingers, but what we can do is to create the outpost of God's kingdom. We can create the place where there truly is love. We can create a community that fully loves each other. And praise God for every way that it's happening here. Praise God for every one of us here who wants to be together, who wants to love each other. Praise God for every one of us who has made a sacrifice for each other. This is not a trivial thing. This is not trying to be good in the sense of we are moral people. This is us saying we are an outpost of heaven upon earth. See what Paul says, verse 21 of today's reading. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why is it gain to die? Because everything that we've been working for down here, up there, we'll see fully. Saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, Paul says at the moment we just see it dimly, but on that day we're going to see it perfectly. So to live is Christ. For me to live is to be in the anointing of Jesus. For me to live is to be being filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus so that I can live for him and love like him. But to die is better by far. We've had this privilege recently of getting to know Catherine and Ashley. I put on this week's service sheets an extract from an email that we've recently received from Catherine. Sorry, not from Catherine, from Ashley. But also, can I suggest, have a look at the BMS World Mission website and read the latest blog from Ashley. It's just come on recently, and it is wonderful. Ashley is working in the sex industry part of the city. She describes, I didn't want to read it out while the kids were in, but she describes what is going on there and the things that they're seeking to do and the love that God is giving her for the women who have been traded to be sexual slaves there. Even about the compassion she's starting to feel for the men and saying, it's not my job to judge them. Now, I don't believe that God is calling all of us to work in that sort of area. But what God is calling us to do is to bring the love of Jesus to where we are. For me to live is Christ. So whether it's where we work, or in our families, or in the church, or whatever it is, the question to ask is, how do I preach the gospel, not so much through words, but through bringing the love of Jesus? Because if we bring it, the opportunities for words will follow. People will ask us questions. People will want to know. But they need to see the evidence that Christ is somebody who inspires people to love. And if you say, well, what do I do? How do I actually bring love to the situations that I'm in? Can I refer you back to Romans 13, verse 10? I mean, it sounds almost glib to say love doesn't harm others. But can we just make a policy decision for this week? As far as I can, I'm not going to harm others. So Ashley, when she goes into these incredibly seedy places, as it seems to me, she's saying, I will love the people who are there. I will care for the people who are there. I will listen to the people who are there. And I will do it in the name of Jesus. And she describes this experience of allowing Jesus, sorry, of allowing Jesus to let his love work through her. That's what being a Christian believer is about. Praise God that we have a link missionary who is not only trying to put it into practice on the other side of the world, but actually is incredibly good at writing and communicating it to us. So please do have a look at that blob on the blob, at that blog on the BMS website. Whatever happens, Paul writes, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, because love will always lead to you suffering. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And he then goes on to talk about Jesus, and he says to them something like this. He says to them, you're united with Christ. You're encouraged by it. You've got encouragement from his love. You are partners together in the Spirit. You've received his tenderness. You've received his compassion. So be like-minded. Have the same love with each other. Be one in spirit and in mind. And then he, just jumping a couple of verses, he says, have the same attitude amongst yourselves that was in Christ Jesus. Oh, may God help us to grasp that attitude together. Because this Jesus, and Paul gets there again, this Jesus who died on the cross has been lifted up to the highest place. So we look forward to great days. We look forward to the day of Christ. We're going to sing in a moment, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. That is our heart cry. But let us look to what God is doing amongst us now. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you. You have revealed your love to us, and we want you to love others through us. Lord, give us grace that we may do so. Help us that in our attitudes towards each other and towards the world around us, that we will be like Jesus. Father, thank you for every way that we have seen that love within this church family. Father, we pray that you will teach us that we may give it more and more. And Father, as we read the incredible passion that Paul has for Jesus and for these people, we pray that you would work in us that we might share this. We know that the church Paul wrote to was not perfect, just as we're not perfect. But Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to move in us afresh. Father, we want to pray your love for those who need it today, especially as today for many people around here is a day when they grieve and a day when they remember the Manchester bombing. Lord, we pray mercy on all who are doing that today. We know that for many in your world today, this is a day of fear. Father, we are appalled that we see what is going on between the nations of our world and the threats that they make to one another. Lord, we pray you would have mercy upon us, and we pray that today you will bless the peacemakers as you have promised to do. Father, let your love rest on this community. Father, we pray that you would keep us from the evil one, that you would keep all around here from those who would want to harm them today. And Lord, may we be the people who behave as the citizens of your kingdom. Let's take a few moments of quiet. You probably have your own prayers that you want to offer to God today. So let's take a few moments quiet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.